hits it up and says, listen, I rejoiced. I have great joy because of something. So again, we've been talking about this idea that the book of Philippians is about joy. And Paul says, so as I'm just about to close out this letter to you guys, I want to remind you what brought me great joy from you. Okay, and what brought them great joy was they were supporting him again. Okay, they were able to give him his ministry support. Okay, and that's an amazing thing to me. And I want you to notice it wasn't always the thing, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. At some point they were helping him, then at some point they couldn't, and now they're helping him again. Because it says, you know, you're doing it again at the last. But before that, you lacked opportunity. You didn't have the opportunity to do so. Look down, if you would, to verse 14 to, again, set this context of what we're talking about. The Apostle Paul says, notwithstanding, ye have well done in that ye did communicate with me in my affliction. So again, and he defines it as we go a little further. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but thee only. So he defines exactly what we're talking about in this communication. It wasn't sending one another a text message. Okay, that's not what communicating means. He says communicating equals giving and receiving. Okay, so they were giving and sending that to Paul. If you continue to look on, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity. So again, giving to the needs of Paul, not because I desired a gift, but a desire that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and am full, and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So again, we're talking about them supporting Paul's ministry. Now, we're going to talk about those other things in the next couple of weeks. Okay, but we understand the context is, Paul says, I have gotten great joy in the Lord because you guys, again, are able to be involved in supporting the ministry. Are you with me so far? Well, what I want to focus on here is the word opportunity here to support the ministry. They did it in the beginning. If you would look to 2 Corinthians, we're going to make some tracks here and look around the Word of God a little bit. 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking to this church in Corinth, a very wealthy church that had made a commitment to Paul for support. Especially for Jerusalem at the time, it was struggling. But Paul makes reference to these churches in Macedonia, and the chief one being this church of Philippi. All right, look if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's just pick it up at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches at Macedonia. So he's saying these churches at Macedonia, which Philippi was that first one there, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Now I want to stop for a minute. Sound familiar? Joy is what we're talking about, okay? That the joy that comes from this and the theme, because of this church here, Philippi, represented this, their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that he would had begun. So again, he's saying, listen, there's some things I want you to understand about this church of Philippi. They were a giving church. They were a very, very poor, very godly church. The Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, which was a very rich church, but a very carnal church. And he was using them as an example. So, he says, let me give you an idea about these guys and how their giving was, how special they were. Number one, the most important thing, and Paul mentions it, first and foremost, they gave of themselves to the Lord. How many Christians today will think they're pleasing God by dropping an offering in the plate? God's not interested in our funds. He can fund his ministry however he wants to. He can pull a coin out of a fish's mouth or whatever. We have many examples. God is much more interested in us giving of our own selves first. He wants our hearts. He wants our lives before he wants anything else. But it didn't stop there. Not only did they first do that, because when you say the first thing they did, that means usually there's going to be a second thing they did, at least, right? You know, generally people don't say, well, now first thing was, if there's no second thing. Okay, but the important part that they shared was, first of all, they gave them themselves. Number two, it says they gave beyond their power. You know what I find amazing, and it rings true to what God's word says. Do you know most churches, most good Bible-believing churches that are sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around this world are funded by people who don't make a lot of money? As a matter of fact, most of the churches around that have rich people in them, a lot of times those rich people don't even give. Now, you think, I'm not making that up. It's something. Remember how the Lord said about how hard it is for a rich man because they depend upon their riches? It's amazing to me that most Bible-believing churches that are out there preaching the gospel are supported by the widow's mite, those folks who are given what they can, maybe even what above they can, but it ain't a lot. You know, when I look across the board, I don't see any of us rolling in the dough. I thank the Lord that we give what we can. Okay, but that's what we're talking about. I want to focus on that because that's the idea. Not only that, it said they begged Paul to take this offering. Okay, you ever have one of those things happen where somebody wants to give you something, you know, no, no, and you're like, oh yeah, you're taking it. Okay. You know, the Apostle Paul, I know throughout his word, he has said many times, I didn't want to make myself a burden to anybody or think I was owed anything. Everything that was given by people that wanted to be involved in the ministry. And here's the key. Do you catch the part why they begged him for this? Look at what it says. And they praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. So they, you know, that's basically when it says praying us with much entreaty means begging them to take this gift, to receive it, because they wanted to be a part of the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. They wanted to be partners in this ministry, and that was their desire. Very important to understand that that was their motivation. They weren't just looking to say, yeah, we gave an offering to Paul the apostle. Aren't we awesome? They wanted to invest in it because it was part of their opportunity to be in the ministry with Paul. Okay? And we're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks as we look about Paul saying in the book of Philippians later on that this is counted toward their account. Okay, when you give like that, it's put on your account toward the ministry. All right, so that's where we set up. That's the background. Now I want to look a couple of truths about this opportunity that happens here. Okay, first thing you and I need to do is realize what our opportunities are. Now, trying to define this in a way we can put our brains around this. How many opportunities do you and I have every day? You probably can't even number them, can you? Because there's opportunity by the way we define it. There's a chance we could do just about anything, right? There's an opportunity we can stop at the store on the way home. There's an opportunity, you know. Okay, so we have to look at it a little different. What kind of good opportunities are there? Okay, because aren't there opportunities for bad? Okay, so what kind of good opportunities are there? Okay, and we want to define these things a little bit as we go. So, sometimes there's opportunities to do things, and then sometimes there's not. How many of you have had chances in your life where something has occurred and you would like to have been a part and helped in, but you couldn't? That happens to me more often than I like. But I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul actually addresses this. He said, listen, I have joy in my heart because now the things that you were wanting to be a part of and you wanted to support, now finally you're able to. Now I want you to catch the thing there. Paul isn't saying, because if you get the tone of Paul all throughout his writings, he's not looking for money. But he says, you know what? I know that you guys very badly wanted to be a part of the ministry. You wanted to be invested in this. You wanted to be involved, and you weren't able to in the beginning. But he says, now, at the end times, you are able to, and I'm so excited because you're doing what God is asking you to do. You with me so far? Hey, stay with me because this is the key. All of these things we're going to be observing this morning about opportunity is, what is God asking you to do? The Apostle Paul says, it brings me great joy in the Lord to know that finally all those things you guys wanted to be a part of, you're able to do it. Okay, now we're talking a little bit about finances here, but it's not just that. It's talking about support of a ministry. You know, they send Epaphroditus down there, this friend of theirs, to deliver this specifically to check out how Paul is doing. It's not just about writing a check. They are concerned about Paul and how his ministry is doing. We just spent this morning in Sunday school time praying for each other, praying for our missionaries, praying for our country, praying for the opportunities that we have to go out and witness, praying for all those things. That's part of being involved in ministry. Okay, so we have to come to a realization that God gives us certain responsibilities, but our responsibilities are only go as far as the opportunities we have. Does that make sense? How many of you, if you had $30 million, would support a lot of biblical missionaries and churches around? And brothers and sisters in Christ. We got a list. My wife made a little list on the computer. If we ever inherited a lot of money, what are some things we would do? Okay, pay off this person's house, pay off that person's house. You know, help the people we love and we know. Just, you know, you want to give. There's a million different opportunities we could give, couldn't we? There's tons of places. I mean, we get letters in the mail. We get calls every week from missionaries here. We have opportunities all the time to put finances or help or prayer toward hundreds of different circumstances around us continually. Do you? If you think about it, so it's important that we realize some of these opportunities we're not going to be able to participate in, are we? As a church, as Christians, just as Americans. I mean, the phone rings off the hook sometimes about, you know, support your local police department, and it rang in with a Dallas area code. Okay, first of all, where are you located? We're in Dallas, Texas. Well, when I get a call from the New Hampshire Police Association in New Hampshire, maybe I'll pick you up on it. Okay, there's plenty of places. And again, I support our police and our fire department, but don't you get phone calls about give to the American Cancer Society or give to this or give to that? Opportunities are all over the place, aren't they? And, you know, you can tug at your heartstrings. You get Sarah McLachlan out there singing songs with the sad faces of puppies in cages, and, you know, for just 66 cents a day, you could help a little puppy get home. Again, I love puppies, but you know what I mean. There are hundreds and hundreds of opportunities for us to be involved in. We have to understand there's certain things that should be guiding our thoughts. Well, first of all, are we able to? The Apostle Paul says, listen, you need to be able to realize there's some opportunities that you're just not able to be involved in, even if it tugs at your heart. There have been times where missionaries have come across here and some of us have said, whoa, we'd love to support them, but we're just not able to right now. Doesn't mean you'll never do it, because what happens here in this church of Philippi? The Apostle Paul said, listen, you did in the beginning, and you're doing it now, but there was a time where you couldn't be involved, where you couldn't be supporting, because you didn't have the opportunity. So we have to be aware of what God really wants us to be involved in with an opportunity, right? So we have to ask God and figure out which ones are important to Him. So first one is realize that you have opportunities. Number two is recognize that there are more important opportunities than other ones. Go, if you would, with me to Galatians chapter 6. Some opportunities are better than others. You believe that? Absolutely nobody believes that. Okay, good. Aren't there opportunities in your life that, you know, you think about that, hey, this is worthwhile? Others, you're like, not so much. You know, one of the great things, if you are a computer literate person and you're into that kind of thing, is just to look at GoFundMe pages. Okay, if you guys know what GoFundMe pages is, it's just basically for raising money for different opportunities. Okay, and you might have one where it's raise money for little Billy who's got cancer, and you know, and the, okay, or you know, the teenage girl puts out and say, you know, mommy and daddy didn't buy me a car for graduation, so I'm trying to raise money for it. You know, there's certain ones you go, I'm interested in that one. I am not interested in all of that one at all. Okay, they can get a job and work for their own car, but right there. There are many that we need to be able to prioritize which opportunities we need to be involved in. Galatians chapter 6, look at verses 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul's recommendation to this church is, yeah, there'll be times where you can do good to everyone, all men, but you better prioritize and understand that the first group you ought to be looking after to take care of is the household of faith. You read that with me? I'm not making it up, right? The Apostle Paul says, as you have opportunity, do good, but you better be doing good to the household of faith first. Now, just so we don't throw this out there as a blanket, who is our household of faith? Billy Graham would be part of it, but our church, number one. Hey, now, because this is, you can say the household of faith, and there's nothing unbiblical about saying this is God's family. Okay, because we used that verse before that God has made us a dwelling, a household for him, that Christians in general. So there's Christian part to this, is true. But if we're a family, let me ask you a question. I'll just use me as an example so I don't embarrass me. Who is my family? Physically, just my physical family. My wife, my three kids, right? Now, I have extended family, don't I? I have my brother, my wife's brother, her parents, my parents. Then I have aunts and uncles and cousins. And who is the household that I'm first and foremost supposed to be looking to take care of? My wife, my children. Okay, I don't look and go, okay, I've got wife and children, but I got a second cousin three times removed who lives in Alabama that they have a need and I need to take care of their need before I take care of our own need. Doesn't work that way. Okay, and I'm not talking about the need for money. I'm talking about the opportunity that God puts in your place. So here's my point, and I'll use this just because I already did. If I can give 66 cents a day to support a poor little puppy somewhere that I don't even know, and we'll send you this beautiful card with a picture of one of the animals that we've rescued. You know, they send that same picture to 700,000 people, you know, I'm not trying to make light of that. There is the need for that. But you can support a puppy in somewhere in the world by sending your money, or you can realize people within your own church family can use the help. The Apostle Paul says you need to prioritize where your opportunities exist. Your opportunities exist first and foremost with the people that you are in the family of God with. Now, there's a lot of people who would give to the Billy Graham Crusade, or give to another crusade, or give to these Christian organizations, and that's fine too. But we can't be so open to major Christianity that we're not looking at our own place. Because I'll tell you the truth, right now, if we pulled up a computer right here on the pulpit, I could find 100,000 things we can give to for Christ. Now, just because I search for it isn't an opportunity that God wants me to take. Now, let me think about that a minute. There are things where God presents an opportunity. We have missionaries right here and through this own church who have needs. There's great opportunities right here in our own ministry that we're aware of. Do I really need to go searching out for a place to give money somewhere else? Or other people to be involved with, or other people to pray for? Don't we have probably 30 different ministries that are already a part of this family? Yes, we do. Why do I want to buy the kid around the corner a pair of sneakers when my kid doesn't even have a pair? Now again, I'm not trying to be selfish, and I'm not trying to talk about finances. I'm trying to talk about opportunity. God puts us in a family, a church family, that has a specific location. Ours is the Keene area. And God says, listen, as you have opportunity, do good first and foremost to those people who are of the household of faith that you're a part of. Then if something else presents itself, absolutely. But I find it interesting sometimes, I just don't know where to give to. Well, does your church support missionaries? Well, how about looking there first? Now, here's a thought, and this is where I want to tie this into a little bit more. You and I have been commanded by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right, Mark chapter 16 says that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is it possible for me to go preach the gospel to every person in this world? No. There's statistics. You know, I could hand out one track a minute for the rest of my life, and I would never even reach all the people that live in China. It is a physical impossibility for me to be able to reach the entire world for Christ. So is God lying when he asked me to do that? No, I have to realize where my opportunities lie. So listen, I'm responsible, you're responsible as members of Bethel Bible Church in Surrey, New Hampshire, to reach the world for Christ. Well, most of us aren't going to go out to the whole world, are we? Matter of fact, most of us aren't even going to leave our own city. So how are we going to come? We have to take the opportunity to support ministries and places and people who do those things. Now, I'm not just talking about finances. That's the one that always comes to mind. But I'm talking about prayer and involvement and being a part of them. Looking at our missions letters, praying faithfully for them, getting involved. I've talked to some of you guys about being, you know, prayer email text partners, you know, whatever. Facebook, who knows what it is. You can get live updates daily from our missionaries to be involved with something from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have opportunity. What's our opportunity? There's opportunities right here in this church to reach the world for Christ. Now, again, we'll readdress this in a week or two when Paul says it gets added to your account. You know why? The church of Philippi, and he says this church is in Macedonia, wanted to be partners in our ministry. Because they understand it's an opportunity for them to reach the world for Christ. You realize right now, this church is reaching people in Mexico and India and other places because we are involved with missionaries who do that. That is the opportunity that God has put before us. Now, here's the issue. And here's what I want us to talk about. The Bible, Lord Jesus is instructing the disciples. And he tells a story about the parable of the talents. Right? He gave one 10 talents, he gave one 5 talents, he gave one talent. And those people who received those talents were supposed to take the opportunity to invest those talents. Right? And the one who invested 10, the one who invested 5, and then the fellow who didn't invest the one that he was given. And the Lord Jesus says a couple amazing things in that passage, but one of the things he says is, to whom much is given, much is expected. I wonder sometimes if God doesn't present us with opportunities to do things because we're not taking the opportunities he's already given us. Now, there are times I enjoy Jim, you know, talking about going to the pub and taking the opportunity to share the gospel with different people. You know, and according to what I'm understanding from my God's word is, when you take opportunities that God gives you, God gives you more opportunities. You know what's amazing to me in that parable of the talents? The guy who had invested the 10, he's given the opportunity of the one, the talent from the one who didn't invest it. To whom much is given, much is expected. God expects you and I to be involved with things that are right in our own lives and take up the opportunities that we have. When you take that opportunity, God will give you more opportunity. You with me? And I don't like this, because that means a lot of what God is doing in my life is depending on how I'm doing in my life. You know, it would be great to be Billy Graham, to get up and have your life affect thousands of people for Christ. That'd be something to be proud of. Not proud of ourselves, but thank you, Lord Jesus, that I made an impact. But you know what? Sometimes it's just making an impact in one person's life. And then God gives you more opportunities. And then God gives you more opportunities. And then before you know it, but why would God give us any more responsibility if we're not taking the responsibility to do the things we already know we ought to be doing? He wouldn't. If we do it with our kids, right? If you give Junior some job to do and he's not doing it, you're not going to give him more jobs to do. Oh, well, I gave him that to do. He blew it, so let's give him 3 more things to do. No, you give him that same job to do, all right? You didn't do it yesterday. Let's do it today. This church of Philippi was pretty amazing. The entire time that they were not able to be a part of his ministry, they wanted to be. They just couldn't because they didn't have opportunity. Once the opportunity opened up and they had a chance, they jumped on it. I was reminded of this and when Dan was teaching through Exodus and the amazing... You know, God is never wants us to do more than we are able to do. Here, this church wanted to support the Apostle Paul, wanted to be more involved in his ministry and invested, and they couldn't. They were incapable at the time. They didn't have the opportunity. Now they do. God doesn't ask us to be involved in things that we can't be involved in. Phone rings. Hey, Pastor Craig, this is missionary so-and-so, and God told me that you need to give our ministry $1 million. Yeah, I don't have $1 million to give, bud. Well, God told me. God never puts things... You know what's amazing to me, and why I talked about, referenced Dan a minute ago with Exodus? You know when Moses is standing before the burning bush, and he God explains this amazing thing. You're going to lead my people out, and we're going to, God, I will deliver them. And Moses says, how can I do it? I don't know. I would be pretty bewildered too. You know what God asks him? God points out, he says an amazing thing. What is in thy hand? He didn't ask him for something he didn't have. He says, Moses, you know what? I got this covered. What do you have on you? I got this staff. Throw it on the ground. And it turns into a serpent. God didn't ask him to do something with what he didn't already have. And then I love the second part. So he threw the staff down and turned it in. Now he says, no, now what's in your hand? I have nothing in my hand. It's just my bare hand. Stick it inside your shirt. Comes out with leprosy, right? Even his empty hand. God never asks us to do anything that he doesn't use what we already have. That's what opportunities in the Lord are. You know how many times I've heard, especially young people, you know, when you're Bible college and things like that. Well, you know, I'll go to Bible college, and once I graduate from Bible college, then God will move me forward, and then I'll get a ministry, and you know, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you don't wait until you got this whole plan and your whole everything right, all the ducks in a row before you start serving God. You do what God tells you to do right now. Because I'll tell you one thing, your ducks will never be in a row. Will they? I'm 51 years old, married with kids. I've been trying to get my ducks in a row the whole time. There's always one duck wandering off somewhere. If you and I are waiting to make sure we have everything we need to accomplish what we think God's purpose is, God's up there going, I'm not asking you to give me something you don't already have. Take the opportunity. If I present something for you, you've got to decide. Number one, is this something I should be involved in? Do I have the opportunity to do this? Number two, is it a priority? Is it something I should be involved in? Then number three, do it. You know how many times I'd love to kick myself in the pants because I walked away from something and God smacked me in the back of the head and said, you missed it. I went, because there was an opportunity there and I didn't take it. We use this verse in this verse of scripture all the time for funerals and things like that. And it's an old song. Ecclesiastes, you can turn to chapter 9 if you want to, but I'm going to reference real quickly Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know that song, don't you? To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn. And it's directly quoted from Ecclesiastes. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to sow, a time to reap. I like planting stuff. You guys know that. We've talked about it many times. But living in New England, we got an interesting thing. The old adage is, right, nobody plants anything till after Memorial Day, right? I remember a couple years back, I had bought 18 tomato plants. And we were looking. I'm like, May's been a beautiful month. Oh, this is great. So about the third week of May, it was in the May 20s, I decided to plant all my tomato plants. Well, the night of May 31st to June 1st, we had a hard frost, and I lost all my tomato plants. Because we need to be aware of the opportunities and how they fit. Oh man, we're having Indian summer. It's February. It's getting up into the 60s. Let's plant our plants. We wouldn't do that, right? Because we're aware of what that there are things, there are opportunities that it's time to take them, and there's opportunities it's not time to take. There's always a season. There's a, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. And I returned, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift for the battle of the strong, neither the bread to the wise, nor the rich, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Is that the verse I wanted? I missed the verse. I wrote down the wrong one, guys. Oh, no, there it is. I just read right past it. To men of understanding. Men of understanding. That's what God is saying here. And again, there's a Jesus himself said he is looking for people who understand the signs of the times. You and I need to understand what opportunities are worth taking and what opportunities are not, because we're aware of what's going on. You're not going to plant in February because it's just not the time for it. How many times did Jesus say, my time has not yet come? But his time was not yet come. But his time was not yet come. Over and over and over throughout God's word, it talks about we got to be aware of when the opportunities are right. So you with me so far? Listen, we're talking about, there's a million different things we have opportunities to do. But we have to choose, number one, is it a good opportunity? Number two, is that good opportunity something that I actually can participate in? You know, preacher, we need $1 million over here in Guatemala. I can't participate in that. That's an opportunity that's outside of my responsibility. Then we have to be aware that there's a certain time and place where it's right now or you're going to miss it. And that's this last one. So we have responsibility, or responding to the opportunity where it presents itself. And the last one is redeeming the time. You know how many times we miss out? You even read little things in the newspaper, especially, you know, or self-help books or whatever, and it'll say, missed opportunities. You ever see something like that? And you and I know it. Yeah. My wife and I were talking this last week. There's a couple of things that have happened in our family relationship, and we've looked at each other and said, I wish we would have ... because the opportunity came and went. You know what you and I need to do? Seize the opportunity when it comes. This is important. Life, one of the devil's greatest hindrances with us is to keep us running around like crazy people, so we don't see the opportunities that God puts before us. Or we're chasing an opportunity that we can't do anything about. Or when the opportunity presents itself and we don't grab hold of it, because we got so many other things going on. This church of Philippi was amazing. They were ready, they were willing, they just were lacking the chance. But once all of a sudden everything lined up and they had the ability, they took advantage of it right away. And they stepped up and did what they were supposed to do. Now, this is so generic that I don't know what God's asking you to do. I don't know what opportunities God's putting your way. But you got to ask yourself, number one, is this an opportunity that the Lord's giving me, or is it just some other opportunity? Save the whales. Not like the whales don't need saving, but is it something that God wants you to do? Number two, can you actually do it? Is it something in your own household, in your family, in your church involvement? Because I guarantee you, if somebody says, I'd like to give money to a Christian charity, I can come up with 1,000 of them in about a minute. But why do we have to search when we have opportunities in the household of faith right now? They're right here. Number two, is God given you opportunities, but you're not responding to it? Well, you know, a few years back I wanted to ... but I haven't been able to. Well, maybe now is the time. Are you watching? Because God says, I want people who understand the signs of the times. I want people to be watching the season. There's seasons you do certain things. You know, we were talking the other day about churches, and I think just about every one of us in here were involved or seen churches when they were running 200 because they were pulling in 150 a week in the bus ministry. How many of us remember those churches where the buses were running and they were bringing 2 or 3 busloads of kids to churches on Sunday morning? That don't happen much anymore, because for a season it worked well. But things change. There's a time in which, you know, having podcasts of your service was unheard of. Okay, number one, because we didn't have the technology, but it even didn't reach the way it was. Yeah, maybe on a little local cable show somewhere on, you know, channel 187, when nobody ever looks, you rented a space. We had to be aware of the opportunities because things change. So maybe there was something God asked you to do a few years ago and it wasn't time, but all of a sudden God has now opened up the door and it's time. The Apostle Paul says, it brings me great joy to know you used to be able to, you used to want to do that, you used to be involved, and you didn't have opportunity, but now you do. And you've taken the opportunity. The last one is, how many of you know we're going to be here tomorrow? I don't know that. I hope so. I'm not looking to go anywhere. But you never know. So if an opportunity presents itself this afternoon, what ought we to do with it? Now again, a good opportunity that we know the Lord's presented, that we actually can be a part of, and it's something that we know that God wants us to do. There's a million opportunities, but we got to whittle it down to, can I do it? Is this something God wants from me? And is it the right time? Then do it. And I'm preaching at myself, because I can't tell you how many times, and I know you're the same way, that I've gone, crud. Boy, did I miss out on that chance. You know, that would have been the perfect opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus could give you peace. That would have been the perfect opportunity to say, you know, I used to struggle with sin like that in my life until God got a hold of my heart. You know, that would be the perfect opportunity to say, man, I'm sorry. Do you mind if I spend a couple minutes and pray with you? But you know what happens is we get so caught up in our own ideas, our own busyness, our own things that are going on, and we stop looking at opportunity. So that's the theme of today's message. The title of it I wrote on the sheet in the back is Your Opportunity. Because you know what? This day can go by and we could be oblivious to opportunity around us. Tomorrow, next week, next month, we can so be busied about everything we're doing that we forget to be aware of things that God might be putting right in front of us. There are times when I honestly struggle, and there'll be a person with a flat tire on the side of the road. And there are some times where God says to me, maybe you can stop and be a help and be a testimony. There's other times where you go, you know, let me give you a recommendation. If you're a lady driving by yourself and there's somebody who's going, let the next person get it. Be wise, be safe, but maybe it's something else. There have been times I've been standing behind somebody in line at Walmart and they come up a few bucks short of what they have. They only have a few dollars and change in their hand and they ask the person to take a couple of things off. You know, it's not lots of money, but, you know, maybe 12 bucks more that I've wanted to say, you know what, let me get that for you. It's just $12. Now, I'm not telling you what you ought to do, but we need to be aware of the opportunities that God puts before us. If we're closed-minded because we're so focused on us and what we're doing that we forget to look around and see the things that God might be opening up for us to be involved in, we're going to miss out on so many of the things. And then when you see it, don't do what we always do. Me too. And go, I missed it. That would have been the perfect time to ... The Apostle Paul again says to this church, let me get there so I can read it verbatim. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your charithme has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. The biggest key to this? If you're going to help somebody, usually what happens to for you to realize that they need help? And it's a kind of a leading, interesting question. When I walk by through my living room and I look at my wife's face and all of a sudden I realize, oh, something's bothering her. You know, or the husbands, we get trained. And I've been, you know, sometimes my wife, it's because the little game she's playing on her phone, she just messed that level up. But she'll give me one of these. And all of a sudden, all the husbandly red flags start going off. Ding, 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 ding. You go, what's wrong? And she goes, I shouldn't have put that little piece there. She likes playing this sort of Tetris kind of thing, you know. So, I messed up the level. But in my mind, I'm going, something's wrong. You know why I knew that? Why that might have been an opportunity for me to help her? Because we have a close relationship in which we know each other. And we understand. Or you can look in their eyes and you walk by and you just say, what? And they say, I just got a phone call about this, or, you know, I'm really concerned about that. Or friends are the same way, right? You pick up and you talk to them on the phone, and all of a sudden, are you okay? Don't we do it here in the back of the church? We have greeting time, and we grab a hold of somebody and shake their hand and say, something's not right. What's up? You know how that happens? By building a close relationship with someone. You know how you and I are going to know the opportunities that God wants for us most? Is when we're close to him. If you and I aren't paying attention to what God wants for us, if we're not seeking every day to have that relationship with him, checking in, making sure we got everything going today, that how are we going to see what he wants us to do? You know, there are times that I've been there that you get busy and you're, you know, hi, hon, good to see you this morning, pew, and you're out the door. You don't know she's heartbroken about something. You come home and you're like, all right, I'm home. I got a shower. Let's get some dinner and everything. And finally, you look over and you realize, what's the matter? Well, this morning at 7 o'clock, I got a phone call about such and such. And we were so busy, so unconnected, so distracted that we didn't see that there was an opportunity because we have a close relationship. Well, guys, if you and I are going to be able to understand which opportunities God really wants us to be a part of, it's because we're going to be close to his heart and understand. And know all of a sudden, oh, Lord, this is a good time for dot, dot, dot. Please look at this world with spiritual eyes. And understand there are so many things that come across our path every day. But certain ones of those things God is laying out for us to be a part of. And whether it's being involved here in our church more. I shared at Sunday school, I'm thankful for so many of the things that go on behind the scenes here. Maybe your opportunity is not getting up and preaching the word of God, or maybe your opportunity is not grabbing somebody and leading them to the Lord, but maybe you've had an opportunity to do behind-the-scenes things here at the church. Those are still opportunities, and God still uses those greatly. You know, maybe you're helping downstairs, or going and singing at the nursing home with the poor first person who's leading it, who feels like, oh man, am I the only one here who's actually singing on key? We appreciate those things, and those are also opportunities. Please, as best we can, don't let the world push us to the point where we're not looking, or we got blinders on like this, and we're not seeing the things that God is maybe putting before us that we can have an impact for Christ for. It may be changing a tire, it may be something, or it may be actually sitting down and opening your Bible. You just never know. But I'll tell you one thing God makes pretty clear. If we're not going to do the few things that we're already supposed to be doing, is he going to give us more? Because from whom much is given, much is expected. If you have an opportunity and you're not taking it, well, God's probably going to say, well, listen, I'll just keep putting that one opportunity out there until they take it. Once they start doing those things I know they want, then I can give them more. Let's be aware. We may not have much more time. We need to be aware of the signs of the time. It's ticking. Take the opportunity, seize the day. What's the phrase, right? Carpe diem, right? Seize that day. Or if you're a handyman like we are in New England, carpe ductum, seize the tape. because that fixes everything. Sorry, corny pastor joke. You got to have those once in a while. Let's pray. All right, Heavenly Father, I thank you.